Okay, today is October the 15th, 2020. I'll remind you that it's not this Saturday, but the next Saturday that we're going to have a party. A party. We're going to have a celebration for Dot and Pete here, and it's going to start at 11, and it's going to be catered, and we're going to have a lot of fun, so mark that on your calendar. 11 o'clock. Do what?
Let me know.
Oh, yeah, and and if you're coming, be sure to let Mary know so that we can figure out how many we need for the food, catering, and so forth. Okay, let's prepare ourselves in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to be here, to get truth. Truth is hard to find these days. Outside of your word, there's not much of it. And we're so thankful that we don't have to be brilliant. We don't have to have a high education. All we have to have is positive volition. We have to be hungry for your word, and you always feed us. It is alive and powerful. It sustains us. It helps us when we are melancholy, when we're afraid, when we're sick. It inspires us. It gives us courage and confidence and security. How wonderful your word is. So we pray that you will help us to focus on it this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me, if you'll turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 27. Romans 1, 27 picks up, it's kind of the third verse in a trilogy. 25, 26, and 27 has to do with people who have already rejected God and His creation, and they are winging it. And, of course, they do what everyone does when they reject truth. They believe the lie. And then the lies that they believe gives them license to do anything they want to do. And they think that that will bring them happiness. And it does just the opposite. It destroys them. So in Romans 1:27 it says, and in the same way, verse 26 is always talking about the women who had exchanged the natural function into lusting after other women of the same kind, women. And in the same way, now in verse 27, we have that same thing going on with men. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Now we've gone over some of these verses. God demonstrated His wrath against the abominable sin of lesbianism and homosexuality in many other verses as well. And we won't read these. We'll just look at them. Leviticus 18:22, 1 Kings 14:24, 1 Kings 22:46, Leviticus 20:13, Genesis 18:20, Deuteronomy 23:18, Jude 1:7, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. 1 Timothy 1, 9, and we could go on, but that should be enough. And some of the words, as I scroll through this, let me get back up here towards the top. The word abomination is in Leviticus 18. And again, in 1 Kings 14, 24, they did according to all the abominations. Leviticus, both of them committed a detestable act. In Genesis 18, 20, their sin is exceedingly grave. Deuteronomy 23, both of these are an abomination to the Lord. Jude 1, 7, indulged in gross immorality. And then in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, you have the different types of homosexuals, the effeminate, which is the passive homosexual partner, and then you have the homosexuals are the dominant partners. So, there is no question what the Bible thinks, what God thinks about these people. And yet, a lot of people today, even a lot of churchgoers, will be ready to attack you if you say that homosexuality is a sin. People who go to church, people who profess to be Christians, people who say they believe the Bible, and they would be willing to attack you either verbally or maybe sometimes physically for making a statement of truth that the Bible completely and totally supports. Now, there is a phrase here. Let's see. Oh, yeah, we went into these statistics. I won't go into the statistics again, but they are shocking about the number of Christians. Well, look at the top right here.
It's not on the board.
Oh, it's not on the board. Right at the top here. It says, Americans who identify as Christian, a majority of the U.S. Christians, 54%, now say that homosexuality should be accepted. That's an abomination. And we saw, if you're not affiliated with a church, it's about 83%. And members of non-Christian faith, 76%, think that homosexuality is just another alternative lifestyle. Now, this is where we're going to start this evening, lesson 35. And the last part of verse 27 says, receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Yes? I can't hear you.
Can you bring it down just a second? The only thing I can
see. You mean like this? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So there's an automatic penalty, suffering, pain for those who indulge in such an abominable, detestable act that in the Old Testament, those who were caught in the act were stoned to death. I would say if you were a homosexual in that day, you would be very careful. Or else you wouldn't be around anymore. And I also would say that the norm for when someone was stoned to death is to take their bloody pulp of a body that was left and hang it up in a tree. Tie it up in a tree for people to go by and look at. And I think the families then would take their children. And in today's world, this would never happen. Oh, the poor darlings, they can't see something. It might scar them for life to see a bloody pulp of a body. But that's not why God commanded them to do that. It was for especially the young people to look up and their mama tell them. Now, if you ever have, of course, they'd have to be a certain age to understand. But if you ever rebel against the Lord and you start loving another man like men love women, that's what you'll wind up as. Someday you'll be a bloody pulp up in the tree. I can remember when 9/11 happened, and there were people that were up, I don't know how many floors it was, 50, 70, whatever it was, and people were jumping out of the buildings. And at first you could see them do it. And then they would hide it from the people. And I was livid over that. They're not our nannies. We want to deal with reality and try to sanitize something like that. Oh, we can't handle it. We're too of a weak flower to handle that. That enraged me when I saw that happening, and they're going to filter it? God doesn't filter things like that. Anyway, that's a pet peeve of mine when they try to make it some kind of a euphemism or something, or try to cleanse it. All we want is truth. We want to see reality, and we are mature enough to handle it and make our own decisions as to what we're going to do. Now, I got off track a little bit when I thought about that. We're getting back here. So, where we're going to have here now for a bit is the consequences of sexual immorality. And that goes right after these people who chose to engage in what God said was an abomination. They would receive in their own persons, in their own bodies, the due penalty of their error. Let's look at a few verses. First of all, we have Leviticus chapter 18, verse 24 through 25. Leviticus 18, 24 through 25. Do not defile yourselves by any of the things, these things, for all these the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled. That should get the attention of any nation. God is saying, don't do this. What these nations that I am destroying, you don't do it, or else you're next on the schedule. This is essentially what he's saying. So again, do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for all these things, the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled. For the land has become defiled, therefore I have visited its punishment upon it, so the land has spewed out its inhabitants. Probably what this is describing is a drought. It's talking about the land. The land wants to... The land has spewed the people out. One thing we can't do without for very long is water. And this was a very strong punishment that God would put on nations when they defied Him. It was a drought. What was our drought? It was about 2006. You remember, Garth, wasn't that when we had the drought here? Seven. That was... I lost over 100 trees, big trees. And I mean... It was just devastation. And it's not the quick devastation like if it was a fire or a hurricane or something like that. But over the long haul, the devastation is probably even worse. It took at least 10 years for my trees to be completely dead. And it's just devastating. Of course, we can go to the grocery store and buy bottled water. We have other ways of doing it. But these people didn't. So that's a very strong deterrent. If you want to have a drought in your country to where you can't even stay there anymore, just do what they're doing. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. There is nothing in the world that is wrong or licentious about husbands and wives having sex. God designed marriage for that. And life is hard enough when things are even going right. But it's like the dessert. And that's why it's saying it's undefiled. It's a beautiful thing. God designed us physically, spiritually, and emotionally to complement one another. So it's undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. I've done 2 weddings in the last month or 2, I guess. And that's unusual. Sometimes I go years without doing weddings. But in both of those marriages that I was conducting, I read this verse. I purposely read this verse. It wasn't for the people who I was marrying. It was for the people who are attending. After one wedding, someone came up to me. It was a lady. And she said, "Boy, that was a hot subject there." No, not just that. She was talking about the whole service. She said, "That was a hot service," something along those lines. And so I said, "Thank you." I don't know what she meant. I don't know if that's what she meant, but that's the way I took it. Because when you have 150, 200 people there, you know some of them out there need to hear this. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. Let's turn our Bibles to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea comes right before Joel. And right after Daniel. As we read from Hosea chapter 4, you're going to see how there's nothing new under the sun. These people didn't have TVs and cell phones and cars. But they were still people just like we are. So, Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. "Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faith, no faithfulness, or kindness, or knowledge of God in the land." Sound familiar? Verse 2. "There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed." Now, in that verse, you have 5 commandments that were broken. Excuse me. The first one is swearing. It could mean 2 things. One, it could be swearing a curse on someone. And in the Old Testament, there were times that where that would be legitimate. And it would be breaking the commandment, not using God's name in vain. They would use God's name and put a curse on someone when it wasn't of God. Or it could be an oath, that they would take an oath and and not fulfill it. That's the 3rd commandment. Deception is the 9th commandment, lies. Of course, the 6th commandment is murder. Stealing is the 8th, and adultery is the 7th. That's quite a few in one verse. And bloodshed follows bloodshed means, it really was an idiom, there was perpetual violence. When you think of cities like Chicago and you have the gangs there, you could describe that as bloodshed follows bloodshed. And it never stops. There's always revenge. There's always more. Verse 3. "Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes." That means they lose strength. courage, patriotism, vitality. The land languishes probably because there is a drought. Along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea, disappear. Probably, like I said, because of a drought. Everyone suffers. Verse 4. Yet let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof or criticism. Why would he say that? The next part. For your people are like those who contend with priests, those who communicate Bible doctrine, we would say. So you will stumble by the day. There'd be failure to apply Bible doctrine in daily life. And the prophet also will stumble with you by night. False teaching of Bible doctrine at night. The religious leaders were just as guilty as the people. That's why it said, let no one find fault and let none offer reproof, because they all were guilty. Verse 5. Well, no, we've got one part left in verse 5. And I will destroy your mother. The mother there is referring to the nation. God will destroy their nation. In verse 6, I have a star by, and it's highlighted. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, we would say rejected knowledge of doctrine, I will reject you from being my priest, and that means a priest nation, like a client nation. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. The next generation was enslaved, by the way. Verse 7. The more they multiply, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people. This is talking about the priests. And when it says they feed on the sin of my people, the people would make offerings and sacrifices, and the priests would encourage them to do so, but it wasn't unto the Lord, it was to idols. And then the priests would take that money and enrich themselves. So again, verse 7, the more they multiply, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They fed on the sin of my people and direct their desire towards their iniquity. And it will be like people like priests. So the people and the communicators of the word were one and the same in the way they were behaving. So I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. Verse 10, and they will eat, but not have enough. They will play the harlot, but not increase, because they have stopped giving heed to the Lord. Now that middle part where it says they will play the harlot, but not increase, this is talking about temple prostitutes. And normally, they would increase. They didn't have birth control back then. And that was one way they could increase the nation. But even that would be shut down. Verse 11. Harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. My people consult their wooden idol and their diviner's wand, in the which informs them. Do you know what a diviner's wand is? It was just kind of a stick thing. And they would go to it to have their questions asked, and they would essentially worship it along with their wooden idols. For a spirit of harlotry has led them astray, and they have played the harlot, departing from their God. They offer sacrifices on the top of mountains. That would be the high place. They wanted to go there because it was probably cooler, had the best view. There were trees up there as well. And burn incense on the hills under oak, poplar, and tamarind, because their shade is pleasant. Therefore, your daughters play the harlot, and your brides commit adultery. When it's saying that their daughters will play the harlot, they would become temple prostitutes. Verse 14, I will not punish your daughters when they play the harlot, or your brides when they commit adultery, for the men themselves go apart with harlots, and often sacrifice with temple prostitutes. So the people without understanding are ruined. Well, I guess I'll go on and finish the rest of it. I mean, this is... At this point, you might think that it's so bad in America, it can't get worse. It can get worse. You're reading it right now. Verse 15. Though you, Israel, play the harlot, do not let Judah become guilty, and do not go to Gilgal or up to Beth-Aven and take the oath as the Lord lives. Now, Gilgal and Beth-Aven, where Beth-Aven means cities of wickedness, these were the cities set up in the northern part of Israel, where the northern kingdom was, where they would go to worship instead of Jerusalem, which they were supposed to go to. Verse 16, since Israel is stubborn like a stubborn heifer, can the Lord now pasture them like a lamb in a large field? I know that Garth knows about stubborn heifers. It seems like when you have cattle and you have the gate open, you want them to go through, you can't drive them through. But if you open that same gate and you don't want them to go through, you have to open that gate for a moment, they're all going to stampede trying to get out. It's like they can read your mind. So Israel is like a stubborn heifer. And how can you take something like that and like a sheep and herd it or be able to control it in an open field? You can't. And that's what he is comparing them to. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Now, Ephraim was one of the sons of Joseph that got a double portion. Reuben lost his double portion. It was given to Joseph, and he had Ephraim and Manasseh were the two tribes that came about this. In this context, Ephraim can be a synonym for Israel. So Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their liquor gone. They play the harlot continually. Their rulers destroy love and shame. Last verse. The wind wraps them in its wings. And what that's referring to, it's a kind of an idiomatic phrase. The winds of judgment is what that's referring to. The winds of judgment wraps them in its wings, and they will be ashamed because of their sacrifices. And their sacrifices weren't even made to the Lord. They were made to idols. So you heard some of the things in that chapter that God was going to do to these people. We're talking about consequences of sexual immorality. And I thought I would just throw one chapter in the Old Testament to give you an idea. You can go throughout the Old Testament, and there are, I would say, there's at least 100 pages of Scripture, just like this one in chapter 4, about how Israel played the harlot, and they went to other gods, and they did all these abominations, and God warned them not to do it, then they did it, and then He judged them, then His wrath was poured out on them, and then they would be contrite and humble themselves, and then He would again bless them, and then what would happen? The same thing. It was just a cycle that went on and on. And that's just not Israel. It's not just in the old days, in ancient times. It's today. That is the pattern of man, because man is fallen. Okay, now I'm going to give you a few things to give you an idea about God is still serious about the consequences of immorality today as well. This came from the Encyclopedia of 7,700 illustrations. Quote, venereal disease is climbing by leaps everywhere. Cases of gonorrhea has topped the 1 million mark. And this was written about 20 years ago. You imagine what it is today. About 100,000 women each year are made sterile by gonorrhea infections. The dean of the School of Public Health at UCLA considered it out of control. At least one strain is completely resistant to treatment by penicillin. The main reason, increased sexual promiscuity and homosexuality. From the same source, in 2018, about 37.9 million were living with HIV, and it resulted in 770,000 deaths. I'm going to read that again. 2 years ago, about 38 million people were living with HIV, and it resulted in 770,000 deaths. An estimated 20.6 million of these lives in Eastern and Southern Africa. They lived in Eastern or Southern Africa. Between the times that AIDS was identified in the early 1980s and 2018, between those times, the disease caused an estimated 32 million deaths worldwide. HIV AIDS is considered a pandemic, a disease outbreak which is present over a large area and is actively spreading. I would say God means business when He said that at the end of this verse that they would bring on their own bodies the repercussion of their sin. Premarital sex relations growing out of the so-called new morality have significantly increased in number of young people in mental hospitals. This was reported by Dr. Francis Braceland, former president of the American Psychiatric Association. He told the National Methodist Convocation on Medicine and Theology in Rochester, Minnesota, that, quote, a more lenient attitude on campus about premarital sex experience has imposed stresses on some college women severe enough to cause emotional breakdown. Another one. According to Reuters, a report from Stockholm, Sweden, has long ago arrived at complete sexual freedom and liberty. Old-fashioned fornication is quite accepted by parents as normal for their youngsters. It is reported that only 5% of the girls and 2% of the boys go with their purity to the marriage altar. That means that's the percentage of virgins that are married in Sweden. 5% of the girls, 2% of the boys. Is this moral deterioration reflected in Sweden's having the highest percentage of suicides in any country in the world? Now we have some quotes. There is no tragedy as tragic as combining high mentality with low morality. That was Roy B. Zuck. Illustrations. To educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. That was Teddy Roosevelt said that. All of the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion, and morality are indispensable supports. And let us, with caution, indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reasons and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles. George Washington. In the 1974 research firm of Daniel Yankelevich Incorporated, surveyed 3,500 young people ages 16 to 25. The interviews sought to learn what these selected individuals felt about, quote, every important value, end of quote, in today's world. The study indicated that only 31% considered premarital sex relations as morally wrong, less than a third, compared with 52% in a 1969 survey. So this was when, 74? Yeah, about 5 years later, it had dropped precipitously. Opposition to abortion dropped from 58% to 45% in the same period. The proportion who considered, quote, living a clean moral life, a very important value, end of quote, fell 71% to 52%. It would seem that standards are shifting into the patterns that existed in the days of Noah. And again, you see how far back these dates are. So these are relatively old, I would say at least 20 years since these were done. a temple university sociologist conducted a survey of 2,300 wives and found that 50% felt they would eventually go outside their marriage for sexual experiences. Did you hear that? 50%. And one out of every three said they already had. Wife swapping has become common in some areas. Hotel and motel managers report an ever-increasing number of unmarried couples register as such. They say that they cannot afford to turn away thousands of unmarried people, so they accept them without question. They say, we aren't moralists. Duh. Okay, now I have to go to another page. Some of these I'm putting on separate. I'm not including in the text because they're fairly long and it would take a while. I mean, it would take up a lot of space. Let's look at these are some more statistics on homosexuals. And I think you might be surprised at some of these. The statistics on homosexuals, homosexuality and its effects. These are some statistics about homosexual lifestyle by Frank Joseph, MD. One study reports 70% of homosexuals to having sex with only one time with over 50% of their partners. 70% of homosexuals admitting to having sex only one time with over 50% of their partners. One study reports that the average homosexual has between 20 and 106 partners per year. The average heterosexual has 8 partners in a lifetime. Many homosexual sexual encounters occur while drunk, high on drugs, or in an orgy setting. Homosexuals got homosexuality removed from the list of mental illnesses. I just automatically say mental illnesses. What I was thinking, and I started to say homosexuals got homosexuality removed from the list of mental attitudes sins. Well, good luck with that. List of mental illnesses in the early 70s by storming an annual American Psychiatric Association conference on successive years. Since homosexuality has been removed from the APA list of mental illnesses, so has pedophilia, except when the adult feels subjective distress. I don't know what that has to do with it, but homosexuals account for 3 to 4% of all gonorrhea cases, 60% of all syphilis cases, and 17% of all hospital admissions other than STDs in the United States. They make up only 1 to 2% of the population. 73% of psychiatrists say homosexuals are less happy than the average person, and of those psychiatrists, 70% say that the unhappiness is not due to social stigmatization. 25 to 33% of homosexuals and lesbians are alcoholics. Judge John Martal, Chief Magistrate of New York City Criminal Court, has said homosexuals account for half of the murders in large cities. Captain William Riddle of the Los Angeles Police says 30,000 sexually abused children in Los Angeles were victims of homosexuals. 50% of suicides can be attributed to homosexuals. I would say they're not happy, 50%. I think, by the way, one reason that number is so high is with AIDS, a horrible, devastating disease, and they probably decided just it's better to check out. It takes approximately $300,000 to take care of each AIDS victim. So thanks to the promiscuous lifestyle of homosexuals, medical insurance rates have been skyrocketing for all of us. Homosexuals were responsible for spreading AIDS in the United States and then raised up violent groups like ACT UP and Ground Zero to complain about it. Even today, homosexuals account for over 50% of the AIDS cases in the United States, which is quite a large number considering they account for only 1 or 2% of the population. Homosexuals account for a disproportionate number of hepatitis cases, 70-80%. In San Francisco, 29%, in Denver, 66%, in New York City, 56%, and in Toronto, 42%, and 26% in Melbourne. 37% of homosexuals engage in sadomasochism, which accounts for many accidental deaths. In San Francisco, classes were held to teach homosexuals how not to kill their partners during sadomasochism. That's sicko, isn't it? 41% of homosexuals say they have had sex with strangers in public restrooms. 60% say they've had sex with strangers in bathhouses. And 64% of these encounters has involved use with illegal drugs. Depending on the city, 39 to 59% of homosexuals are infected with intestinal parasites like worms, flukes, and amoeba, which is common in filthy third world countries. The median age of death for homosexuals is 42. Only 9% live past the age of 65. This drops to 39 in case of death is AIDS. The median age of death of a married heterosexual is 75. The median age of death of lesbians is 45. Only 24% live past the age of 65. The median age of death of a married heterosexual woman is 79. Homosexuals are 100% times more likely to be murdered, usually by another homosexual, than the average person. 25 times more likely to commit suicide and 19 times more likely to die in a traffic accident. I don't know why that's accident in the traffic, but the other ones make sense. 21% of lesbians die of murder, suicide, or traffic accidents, which is at a rate 534 times higher than the number of white heterosexual females aged 25 to 44 who die by these same things. Listen to that. 534 times higher if you're obeying God than doing your own thing. 50% of the calls to a hotline to report queer bashing involve domestic violence. Homosexuals beating up on other homosexuals. About 50% of the women on death row are lesbians. 33% of homosexuals admit to minor adult sex. In other words, an adult having sex with a minor. 33% of them admit to that. There is a notable homosexual group consisting of thousands of members known as the North American Man and Boy Love Association. You ever heard of that? It's called NAMBLA. This is a child molesting homosexual group whose cry is, sex before 8, before it's too late. This group can be seen marching in most major homosexual parades across the United States. Homosexuals commit more than 33% of all reported child molestations in the United States, which, assuming homosexuals make up 2% of the populations, means that 1 in 20 homosexuals is a child molester, while 1 in 490 heterosexuals is a child molester. 73% of all homosexuals have had sex with boys under 19 years of age. Many homosexuals admit that they are pedophiles. The love between men and boys is at the foundation of homosexuality. By the way, all these numbers that you see here are footnotes where these came from, and they're listed at the bottom. Because homosexuals can't produce naturally, they resort to recruiting children. Homosexuals can be heard chanting, 10% is not enough, recruit, 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 in their homosexual parades. And then I think this is something that let's see. This went on to the homosexual agenda. That was just giving you statistics and facts. This is saying something about their agenda. The homosexual agenda. The homosexual agenda includes desensitizing the public. The first order of business is desensitization of the American public concerning gay and gay rights. To desensitize the public is to help it view homosexuality with indifference instead of with keen emotion. But if only you can get them to think that it is just another thing, then your battle for legal and social rights is virtually won. We are no longer seeking just a right to privacy and a protection from wrong. We also have a right, as heterosexual Americans already have, to see government and society affirm our lives, which it has done. Part of the homosexual agenda is to turn people from Christianity. The teaching that only male-female sexual activity within the bonds and constraints of marriage is the only acceptable form should be reason enough for any homosexual to denounce the Christian religion. Homosexuals knowingly lied and still lie about the 10% figure. In other words, they say that their population of homosexuals is 10%, and it's more like 1%, 1 to 2%. The Kennedy study of 1948, which homosexuals often cite to say that 10%, I'm just going to skip that one. It's not that, it's kind of long. Current research shows that the true percentage of homosexuals is in the range of 1 or 2%. Consider how small this number is when compared to most of the numbers above. Homosexuals aren't discriminated against in employment, so why should they be a protected class? The average yearly income of homosexuals is $55,430, most of which is disposable income because no children to take care of. They have more money because they don't have children. The average of the general population is 32,144. The average of blacks is 12,166. 59.6% of homosexuals are college graduates. 18% of the general population are college graduates. Too bad they aren't smart enough to listen to God. I didn't put that in there. That was there. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1:22. How about that? I didn't put that in there either. It was there. 49% of homosexuals hold professional managerial positions. 15.9% of the general population holds such positions. So, where's the job discrimination? Okay, we got through that. It wasn't pleasant. But the reason I'm doing this is because the next time you hear somebody saying that they're celebrating because another homosexual has come out of the closet, maybe we ought to print these out and have them at the ready and say, "Oh, you think so, huh? Read this." Now, those weren't opinions. Every one of those had footnotes from scientists, doctors, and psychiatrists, and all the like. And the reason I did that, because when God says that they're going to suffer in their own body for what they have done, God means business. In no way did I show all these statistics. This is just exposing homosexuality in the world and in this country. I didn't do it for us to hate homosexuals. Then we would be sinning. We should love them enough to tell them the truth. And any time someone comes out of the closet or somebody identifies themselves as a homosexual, it might be a friend, it might be even a family member. The loving thing you can do is not pretend that it's okay. The loving thing to do is to tell them that you may have desires for the same sex. But it's really not all that different from heterosexuals having desire to have sex outside of marriage. And if you're a believer, and there are believers, I don't know what the number is of believers that are homosexuals, they need to fight that temptation just like we have to fight it. But when they start trying to say it's okay, and when Christians start saying it's okay, then that's a real problem. Because God will get our attention. And that's what's happening today. I mean, it's not only accepted, it's celebrated. And it's nauseating to see mayors and governors and everybody try to get at the head of these nauseating gay pride parades. No nation can stand as long as they continue to accept what God has condemned. Which means we have to pray all the harder for our country. This is no new development. This has been going on for a long time. But now we've gotten to the part of critical mass. Our very country is at stake. And we think it's happened quickly. And it has. It's 2020 when it entered, we had no idea it was going to be this. We've never had a year like this before. We're seeing things we've never seen or never even dreamed of. But it has been brewing for a long time. And the reason it got to critical mass is because a lot of it has to do with what we were studying in Genesis about Jacob pitching his tent right outside of Shechem. Well, that's what too many Christians have done. They thought they were strong enough to not separate themselves from evil. And when you do, you pay a price. When you separate yourself from evil, there's always a price. But of course, it's always worth it. And people who are not consistently getting doctrine, they're not alert. Remember I gave you the verses about how we have to be alert? They are swooned and wooed into accepting what everybody else is accepting this. So why should... There are homosexuals, practicing homosexual so-called pastors in the Episcopal Church and several other churches that are accepted. And they say that probably within a next few years, it very easily could be accepted in the Southern Baptist churches. So, this is where we are. I thought it was appropriate to go into this. I've got another thing that, of course, I'm out of time now, but I told you about the cultic prostitution. I think it's 2 pages on that. Is that what it is? And this is all 4 pages. But it's information that we need to know. I was looking at you as I was reading these statistics, and I could see the disgust and nausea hearing such things. But I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's like I'm taking the bloody pulp and hanging it in the tree. This is truth. This is reality. I don't care if you're nauseated or you're sickening. I think we need to see truth for what it is. And we don't hate these people. We have compassion for them because they bought the lie and they have been drafted into the dark side. And the best thing we can do is give them the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. And that's the only thing for most of them that will extract them out of the dungeon of darkness that they're in. Do you hear how many suicides? Well, we'll pick this up next time. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you are a God that makes clear what you expect of us for our own good. How terrible it is for people who reject you and your truth, the Word, and go it on their own. And they're going to be independent. There's millions upon millions of them. And we just looked at one aspect, the homosexuals, these statistics. And yet it's celebrated in our country. So we pray for our country that it would wake up, that it will see this is an abomination to you. But we are so far down that road. But at least each one of us individually can do what we can. We can stand for truth and righteousness and speak out boldly about our God, who is full of grace and mercy, but is also a God of justice and righteousness. And you cross him, you will pay the penalty. So we pray that you'll help each one of us to think about this, be at the ready, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. We thank you for that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.